Yes. Pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, yes, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. We'll prepare. Thank you, Father. Pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a sanctuary for you. Glory to the Lamb of God. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Isn't God good? All the time. God is good. Get your Bibles out. Stand for the reading of the Word. God's so awesome for us, to us, for us, in us. God, you're awesome. I read because it's Memorial Day was last weekend, I read a rather supposed to be a true story. Okay? Supposed to be a true story. Y'all can sit down for just a minute because I think it's going to be a little longer than I was expecting. This true story. This is supposed to be a true story, okay? True story. According to my sources. All right. As the crowded airliner is about to push away from the gate, the peace is shattered by a 5-year-old boy who picks that moment to throw a wild temper tantrum. No matter what, while his frustrated, embarrassed mother does to try to calm him down, the boy continues to scream furiously and kicks the seats around him. Suddenly, from the rear of the plane, an elderly man in a Marine uniform is seen slowly walking forward up the aisle, stopping the frustrated mother with an upraised hand. The white-haired, courtly man, soft-spoken Marine, leans down and motions toward his chest and whispers something into the boy's ear. Instantly, the boy calms down, gently takes his mother's hand, and quietly fastens his seatbelt. All the other passengers burst into spontaneous applause. After the Marine slowly makes his way back to his seat, one of the cabin attendants touched his sleeve. "Excuse me, sir," she asked quietly, "but could I ask you what magic words you used on that little boy?" The Marine smiles serenely and gently confides, "I showed him my pilot's wings, service stars, and battle ribbons, and I explained that they entitle me to throw one passenger out of the plane door on any flight I choose." That little boy thought he was getting ready to go out of there. Amen. Now we can stand for the reading of God's Word. There we go. Joshua. Chapter 4. God is so good to us. He does more for us than we can ever do for Him. Ever, ever, ever. Joshua chapter 4, verse 1. Thank you. That's a whole lot better. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take ye 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command ye them, saying, Take ye hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and carry them over with you, and lead them on the lodge in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this shall be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean you by these stones? Then you shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for the memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so in as Joshua commanded, and took out the 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them into the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst, y'all say in the midst, of the Jordan. Say in the deep, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. Now, let's stretch forward your hands this way. It's God for a special touch and a special anointing. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you, God, that you guide us. No matter what, you've guided us. And I ask you right now, Lord, touch our bodies, touch our minds, touch our spirits, touch our hearts. Help us, God, to do what you would have us to do in the way that you would have us to do it. In the name of Jesus, we love you and we praise your name. And we thank you for all things. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, Amen, amen, amen. Look at somebody. This is very important. Say, the past is behind us. Quit looking back. The future is ahead of us. Keep looking forward. God is with us. Keep looking up. And nothing shall be impossible. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. God is so good. Now, last week, I'm going to go over some real quickly. Last week, we stopped and dwelled on everyone. This time, we're going to go through real quick, and we're going to go through some slides, and then we're going to go into some new stuff today. So, it was a new day was dawning. The children of Israel had been wandering for 40 years, and now the 40 years was up. And now they're getting ready to do something different, okay? So behind them was 40 years of wandering, what-ifs, could-have-beens, the known, and this day they would leave all that behind. Some of us could get a whole lot farther in the Lord if we could leave the what-ifs and the wandering and what could-have-been and the stuff behind. If we could leave it back there, quit bringing it back up and carrying it with us. Amen. So many people live in yesterday that they cannot enjoy today, and God can't propel them into their tomorrows. So here it is. Here's these people. They're at the river, and they're waiting at the River Jordan. So in front of them was continuous unknown. There was continuous challenges, there was battles, there was victories. They would need to look forward. So this is still some very, very, very powerful stuff. Here you go, ready? I should have did it the last one. Say, the past is behind us. Amen. Now say, the future is ahead of us. All right. Now, here it goes. There was promises. There was the path of the promise. Remember this, the Jordan River, there was 1.5 million Jews that were crossing over. They were getting ready to cross over. And so the promises, the path of the promise, the Bible said that Jordan was swollen. Jordan most of the time was between 5 and 20 foot deep. But when it's swollen, and it was only 100 feet wide, but when it was swollen, it was a mile or half a mile wide, and it was up to 50 foot deep. So there's a lot of stuff going on here. They're going to cross over at the worst possible time. And the Bible says that it was taken down from one end to the other was 20 miles. So it was opened up 20 miles. So guess what's getting ready to happen? God's asking them at the worst possible time to step up, but watch what he can do. So here it is, 20 miles from one end to the other. That's how far apart it was spread. And the picture of this promise is, once you get in here, once the men of God stand in the middle, hey, Walter. Hello, Walter. It's good to see him walking. Amen. Isn't that good? All right. So the picture of the promise is 12 stones are taken out and put on the other side. But there's 12 stones on the inside that's left in the water. So there's two monuments going on that day. So here it is. Look at him. Glory. Get it, Walter. You want to come hear me? Well, come on. Look at you. Come on. You come to me? Huh? You come to me? Come on. You can help me preach. You want to help me preach? You do? Hi, you want to come to me? Huh? Well, you come on and help me. Whoop, whoop, that. Or we're just supposed to sit down here and do it, right? Come on. How about this? Is that better? All right, let's try it. Let's give it a shot. You want to give it a shot? Because this here's a promise. Right here. It's a monument of God's power and a monument of God's anointing and what God can do. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. This is awesome. Amen. How you doing, buddy? They do look kind of rough, don't they? It'll grow on you, I promise. Okay, ready? Here we go. So they picked up these 12 stones from the Jordan's floor. Now remember, they had to go 50 foot down. So this isn't just they just crawled in some shallow water and got these stones. They went on dry ground. So 50 foot deep, God spread it apart. And they could go in on dry ground and they could could get this thing. Well, you know what? I just thought about something. I got a cold. I'm going to give you back to your mom. I'm sorry. I'm getting so tied up and I was seeing you walking. That's why I didn't do communion. And I'm sitting here talking right in your face. Here you go, buddy. There you go. But thank you for helping me. He did good, didn't he? You go ahead and get a little hand clap of praise. It's all right. After I got talking, I started clearing my throat. I said, wait a minute. My wife told me, said, don't get in anybody's face today and don't lick any doorknobs. All right. And I picked Walter up and got him right in my... All right. So now, here we go. Get ready. At the place... All this stuff was going on at the place where God demonstrated his power to take care of any obstacle in our life. How many's got obstacles in your life today? How many know that God can take care of those obstacles if you trust him? Well, come on. God can take care of the obstacles if you trust him. Come on. God can do it. Do you see Walter walking? And if y'all can see him doing praise and worship, Lord, have mercy, son. That boy is something. That's right. So God's got this. He can move any obstacle. So now, when they saw these stones, I love this, be strong, be courageous, for the Lord will be with you wherever you go. So what these stones mean, get ready. This is real quick. What it means is behind them, there was struggle, but they also found strength in their struggle, and they saw success. That's the ones on the other side. But it also meant that there will be, continue to be struggle, but there will continue to be strength and there will continue to be success. Do you know there's never a time when you quit growing in God? Never. There's never a time when, wouldn't it be nice if we got to a certain age and all of a sudden God said, okay, no more trials for you. What I have discovered is the older I get, the more trials I seem to have. Amen. And the more I know, the least I know. So listen to this. Spiritual success always comes through struggles. Amen. And so what happens is our spiritual struggles always become our spiritual lessons. And our spiritual lessons lead to spiritual promises. Always remember that. Always. So, now, nothing ahead of you is bigger or stronger than the power of God behind you. What do these stones mean again? This is the other set of stones. Get ready. Here it is. Behind, again, there was protection, there was provision, and there was presence. And ahead of them, there's going to be protection, and there's going to be provision, and there's going to be presence. Because God always helps us through every struggle we have if we can just trust Him and thank Him for what He can do. So watch this. I'm going to tell you, how many has ever said, God, like Mother Teresa, I'm glad you trust me because all these trials I'm going through, but do you have to trust me so much? That's what Mother Teresa said. How many wonder why you keep running into so many trials? Sometimes you did it yourself. I mean, when God says, don't you do, hey. Or God says, do and you don't, okay. But not every time does every trial come because you did when He said didn't and you didn't when He said did. So why is it that God said, I'm giving you the promised land, but they're going to a place, this is why they walked 40 years, is because, or wandered 40 years, is because they were looking for the land flowing with milk and honey, but they said, here's the fruit, but there's giants in the land and there's strong cities. In other words, God's going to keep His promise. He's going to give it to you, but He's not going to be easy. I heard a man preaching the other day, and he said his granddaddy walked. Said his daddy drove a Model T. He said he drives a Cadillac. His son drives an Audi. His grandson drives a Tesla. He said, but his great-grandson is going to walk. If everything is easy, you lose your ability to fight. If everything's easy and give to you, you lose that fear for God. If everything's give to you, pretty soon you become spoiled and expect God to give everything to you like you want. And so he said he watched the progression of his family go better and better and better. And next they're going to go back to the beginning again because there's going to come a time like in the book of Judges. They went up, they went down. They went up, they went down. They went up, they went down. So now, why, I love this, I'm thankful for the struggle because without it, I wouldn't have stumbled across my strength. Think about that for a minute. And then I'm going to ask this question. Why did God leave the giants in the promised land? Why does God leave giants in your vision? Why does God leave obstacles in front of you? Why doesn't God move them? God left the giants in the promised land on purpose to produce struggle. God leaves the obstacles in your life to, number one, produce struggle, and number two, not to lean on your strength alone, but also to lean on God's strength. And what I've discovered is the stronger the struggle, the stronger the anointing on the other side. So now, God knows a lack of struggle produces spiritual weakness. It produces a loss of spiritual edge. It produces thankfulness. And it produces spiritual laziness. What I have discovered is when everything's flying high and looking good, I might not realize it, but sometimes my edge is not quite as sharp. You find me a captain and everything he's got is smooth sailing. He's not going to be a very effective captain when things get tough. You see firemen that never, ever have to answer fires. Just everything's hunky-dory. Then when they get a real fire, they don't know how to handle it. You find guys that in the foxhole have been in that foxhole time and time and time again, and somebody get in the foxhole with them that has never been in that foxhole. And watch how he's got your back. God gives us struggle to keep our edge sharp, to keep us thanking him for what he does for us, to keep us from getting spiritually lazy. These people were going to go into the promised land. They're going to have to, although God gave it to them, they were going to have to fight battle after battle after battle after battle to receive what God gave them. How many times have you wondered, God, if you give it to me, why is it so hard? It's because God wants us to be strong warriors, not warriors. Warriors. Not W-O-R-R, but W-A-R-R, warriors. So now, when they're struggling, how many's going through struggles right now? Every hand should be raised. Every weakness is an opportunity for God to show you his strength. My grace is sufficient, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. So here it goes. Struggle is number one. It is a sign that there's still life in you. I talked to some people last week that have no struggle whatsoever. None whatsoever. How'd you like to be those people? No struggle whatsoever. None! You know where they were at? Laid out behind the church. When I talked to them, you know what they said? Nothing. Struggle is a sign that there's still life in you and that you got potential. Don't ever think you don't have potential. And don't ever think because you're going through something that God's turned his back on you. Sometimes you're going through something because God is watching you and he knows you can do a whole lot more than you're doing. And so he allows struggle to come to bring you to your potential. Number two, struggle is a sign that Satan doesn't have you yet. Wow. That's a problem for him, and it brings problems to you. Satan knows that he doesn't have you yet because that's why you're going through these struggles. Number three, God still has need of you. He's still got a purpose for you if you're going through struggles. Struggle is also a sign that God is defending you. That's power. Y'all say power. That's why I didn't do communion today, y'all. I know y'all don't want me hacking up over top of you. I was practicing with DC, and I started hacking up, and DC had to get up and run off. He said, good Lord, Daddy. Hope you didn't get any on me. But then I went and had communion with Stephen. Like, that's how holy y'all are. I can be sick and still get communion from y'all. All right, ready? Number five, if you got a struggle, that means breakthrough's on the way. There's a promise. The Bible says In Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. So I'm getting ready to close. Getting ready. I'm not quite yet, but getting ready to. It may not be easy. You may not understand it. But faith is trusting God when life doesn't make sense. I remember Daddy built this great little big garage. And him and Mama, Daddy was going to retire and open up a garage, just mechanic shop. He was going to retire from working on the road, and him and Mama were going to retire, and they were going to have a good time together. And just before he could retire, Mama got sick, and sicker, and sicker, and sicker, to the point that she lost both her legs up to her hips. Had multiple open heart surgeries. Had her eyes operated on several times because she went blind. Her kidneys were gone. She was on dialysis. Sometimes up to 5 times a day. It was peritoneal dialysis. Just didn't make sense. And my mama looked at me and she said, I was expecting us just to calm down and have an easy life because y'all were grown, y'all were taking care of business, and y'all could take care of yourself. Daddy was going to quit and come back work here and going to open up a garage right here, Linton's Garage. And she says, now Daddy's got to work harder than ever because I can't seem to stay out of the hospital. I don't understand it, son. And I looked at Mama and I said, I don't understand it either, Mama. But one thing I do know is we can't stop trusting God. And I found out I grew more, and my mama grew more, and my family grew more while Mama was sick than when everything was going good. God is watching in your struggle. So, what do these things mean in the middle? The ones in the middle. The ones that were going to be covered up and nobody else could ever see them again. They were going to be covered up. So what about the monument in the rivers, unseen by all? Would they, and how can they make a difference? I want you to think about your own life. I want you to listen carefully. Think about your own life. And think about some of the things that you've been through. Think about some of the struggles that you've had and things you wish you had never had to go through. And sometimes it's hard to believe that God sees you and He knows what you're going through and that you're not alone. But that's the truth. God and the ones that went through at the Jordan. Y'all today that have gone through stuff that nobody even has any idea what you've gone through and what you're going through. After the trial, after the test, after the battle, after the struggle. Just like those memorial stones were left in that river that nobody ever see again. God planted something in you during that struggle that nobody else can see. There's something inside. Nobody else knows but you and God. Nobody understands but you and God. And nobody, y'all say nobody, not even Satan, can take away what God put inside. Yes, we have memorials all around us, but the one that's inside is the most powerful. It's the one on the inside that keeps me going. It's the one on the inside that gets me to keep standing up when I get knocked down. It's the one on the inside that helps me keep looking at God when everything around me looks like it's bleak and going down. It's the one on the inside in this inside, not just a river with the stones, but this inside. So I want you to remember something. Isaiah 43. In DC, come on up here, buddy. Isaiah 43 and 2. When you go through the deep waters, I'll be with you, and you're not going to drown. That's some of y'all right now. I want to read the Message version of this. When you're in over your head, I'll be there with you. When you're in rough waters, you will not go down. When you're between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end, because I am God, your personal God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. So many times, we want to blame the devil for everything that happens, or we want to let the devil beat us up and condemn us for everything that happens to us. Not knowing that sometimes God's letting us go through these challenges to build us. That God's letting us go through things that in the end will encourage us. And when you go through these things, and when he parts the water, and he builds that memorial, not just inside the waters that you're in, but builds that memorial in your heart, nobody can take it away. Nobody. Nobody. Because you saw God move. And you know that God's got you. Right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today, and the very first thing of all, you say, I need to draw closer to God. Would you put that hand up? I really need to draw closer to God. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Number two, you're here today and you're having a struggle. And Satan is trying to play head games with you and say you're having this struggle because you're not living like you should. You're having this struggle because God's mad at you. You're having this struggle because you didn't cross every T and dot every I. And it's got you down, not knowing that God's allowing this so you can grow, so you can spread your wings and watch what God can do. If I'm talking to you right now, you'll say, yes, I've been going through something. Yes, I've been in a struggle. And yes, Satan's beat me up over it. And I just need some strength and some wisdom, some understanding. With nobody looking around, every head bowed, would you put that hand up? I just need some strength. I need God to give me strength to go through these battles, because I don't understand them. But I know God does. I'm here to tell you right now, not every battle that you go through, not every struggle that has taken you is because you've done bad, because you didn't cross every T and dot every I. Many times the battle's there because Satan is fighting as hard as he can fight. And God backs up and lets you learn how to fight, to get up on your feet, to get the training wheels off and go into battle and be a warrior. That 40 years in the wilderness, God got them out of Egypt, but that 40 years in the wilderness was to get Egypt out of them. And when they went into the promised land, they became a very highly effective warrior power machine. You may not feel like it, but you've been going through boot camp, and God's going to use you to help a lot of people. You just got to trust Him in the process. You're growing. Thank God for it. Thank God for the struggle. Thank God for the battles. Thank God that He's moving in your behalf, even when you don't see Him. And let me tell you, your faith is the greatest when you just trust He's there when you can't see Him. That's the greatest. When you're in over your head, I'll be there with you. When you're in rough waters, you will not go down. When you're between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end, because I am God, your personal God. Let's pray together. Father, we love You. We thank You that we're not alone. We thank You, God, that struggle isn't always punishment, but struggle is exercises helping us to grow as Your warrior. And we thank You for it right now in the name of Jesus. And we know, God, that You got this. Help us to see Your hand in a very powerful way in our life. And we thank You for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I remember when we were at Dunn, and there was only 7 of us. The chaplain program kept falling through. Bitsy Johnson Hospital is like Greenville Hospital. It's a major, major trauma center. And the chaplain program kept falling through. And so there was an ad put in the paper to have a special meeting, and 100 people showed up. And the director said, I'm going to choose 7 people from your applications. I'm going to pray about them and choose 7 people. And y'all are going to run a pilot program, and you're going to develop this program so it never goes down again. And I had no idea that I was going to be 1 of 7. And it was crazy. Because I remember one day I was on shift, and I remember we had an emergency room and 4 floors, and on every floor, including the emergency room, somebody was dying. And I just kept walking back and forth to all of them, walking back and forth. And eventually all of them died that day. And I was there for like 8-10 hours with all these people. And I remember that we were training other chaplains, but to start with, it was just us for several months. And I remember how strenuous it was, and some bad things and some rough accidents, and how we were always there. It seemed like it was just always. And I remember being there when a guy got crushed in a hole while he was putting down tiling for the road crew, got crushed. And I remember having to deal with the family with that and all kinds of stuff like that. But then we got some seminary students. And some of the seminary students, all they had was a book knowledge. And it's amazing how when you tell them to come on in because we got something major going on and we need your help, and we're trying to train them. It was from Campbell University. And what they had was a book knowledge. But what we had was years and years and years of chaplain experience going through something. And it's amazing how somebody's never been through something, although they might have the degree, when they got in trouble, stuff like that, they couldn't handle it. And I kept thinking, God, are you ever going to break this? Let it let up, let it let up, let it let up. I couldn't even, I'd be preaching and they would call me. And I'd say, tell them I'll be there when I get through preaching. And I said, Lord, is it ever going to let up? But I didn't realize it was building me and building me. So I had unshakable faith, no matter how bad the situation was. Had unshakable faith where I could trust God and step in there no matter what. And some of y'all right here don't realize that some of y'all are getting some unshakable faith right now. Unshakable. You may not feel it, you may not understand it, but I promise you when the rubber hits the road, unshakable faith because you've been through hell and back with God. Let's pray. Matter of fact, here's how we're going to do it. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer. And then I'm going to ask Brother Steve to dismiss us in prayer. Thank God this week for every struggle. And know that every struggle is not because you ain't done it right. Okay? Not because you did it wrong. All right? Let's say the Lord's Prayer. Do you want me to pray for? Okay. All right, let's go pray for Barbara. Let's all go pray for Barbara. Then we'll do the Lord's Prayer. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we're thanking you for a very powerful move of your Spirit. Lord, you created our sister. You created those vessels. And we know, God, that you can bring healing and deliverance to her right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you, God, for your power and your anointing and what you're doing at this very moment. Because, God, we can't do it, but you can. But you did say, call for us to come up here and do this. And Lord, you would take care of business. And that's what we're doing. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for healing her body. Amen. 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 Let's say the Lord's Prayer. Father, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil. Thy kingdom, power, and glory.